The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this afternoon edition of
All the Things You Trend, All the Things You Trend, Running Through My Trend, Running Through My Trend, All the Things You Trend.
Remember that band Tattoo?
Oh boy, that's gonna be a pain to turn into a title.
Yeah, just call it All the Things You Trend. That's what we'll call it. That is from Johnny Davis, short show title Spice. That's the moniker there. And I'm joined in the second seat, guest co-pilot, guest co-host. Some of y'all who are down with 420 Day Fiance already know the legend that is Brian. But for those of you that also listen to the show and you hear about producer Brian, well, here he is. Breeze Nye, welcome to the show.
It's a me.
Brian? That's kind of, that feels a little odd. It's a me, Brian.
Yeah, that's all you get.
Let's tell people what is trending right now. The first one, Chuck E. Cheese is trending. Because I guess it was announced that they will be removing those janky animatronic fucking bands and shit from all their location, except for one in California, because they want to preserve the nostalgia vibrations.
No!
This is what's so funny. They've been doing this for like years. I felt like when we started this podcast, they were like, yeah, we're going to be offlining it. And like, it was, people were like trying to buy the fucking Chuck E. Cheese animatronics.
I remember
and shit.
That. Yeah.
During
the pandemic, they were selling shit.
Yeah, exactly. This doesn't quite strike me as news, but a lot of people are like one website was, they're trying to speculate that it's like, oh, dude, it's probably because of Five Nights at Freddy.
Yeah, it just seems like an odd time to, like, I don't know if Five Nights at Freddy's makes people want to go to a Chuck E. Cheese necessarily, but it's like, I mean, their visibility is up.
Are they trying to be like, yeah, man, they're probably afraid that those fuckers are going to come to life and kill people.
That's way more interesting than my cynical thought of maybe they're just trying to like make like a shit ton of eBay money off of selling these animatronic things. Like,
oh, right. To be like
selling them as haunted. Why not?
Sure. Oh, would you buy a haunted Chuck E. Cheese? I don't know. I don't like them enough. I bet Jamie Loftus would probably. That's like her whole thing.
So, haunted with what?
Right.
A ghost?
Not
deep, like what kind of
not
haunting?
Like, no, like,
about?
I'm like not Pazuzu? Some shit that, like, it has, no, it, like, it doesn't have the spirit of a murderer. It's just, like,
okay, so weird, it's not a shit. Chucky type situation.
Nah, but weird shit happens around these janky robots. Like, that kind of thing.
I don't mind a little bit of spookery, I think, in theory. I've never been spooked, but.
Yeah, same.
If you want to open up all my cabinets or like rearrange the furniture, I don't give a shit. It's like, I don't know. If that's all they got, then that's fine.
That's so funny. Like a movie about a dude who's being haunted, but like, it's just like, they're like minor inconveniences when other people be like, dude, a fucking ghost is doing. You're like, yeah,
that's usually what a ghost movie is to me. At least it's a lot of like moving furniture around and rearranging stuff. yes, inconvenient, but yeah, it's just I don't get why ghosts are scary.
Oh, you know what? I bet it would be a bridge too far if they started fucking with your like audio equipment.
Yeah, if they fuck with my routing, it's ugly.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So then what? That's what's so funny. It's hyper specific, and then people were like, "This isn't a fucking horror movie."
Yeah, if there was a ghost of some old sour engineer that just wanted to fuck with me specifically,
yeah,
that would be a nightmare.
Yeah, turn down your backup power supply and then cut your breakers and shit, and then be like, ha, 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 "Look at you! Thought you could save your work, asshole." Huh? Oh, surprise. Another thing to talk about, since we both love music, is okay. The Sphere, you know, that like is going up in Vegas, that everyone's like, holy shit, it's making me sick being inside of it, but it's also kind of insane. Apparently we're going to get one in Los Angeles where you used to live. Might be a way to coax you back. Cause apparently on Sunset Boulevard, another thing called the Sphere is going up, but apparently
the renders fucking rinky dink.
Yeah, this one looks fucking, this looks jankier than a fucking Chuck E. Cheese robot.
It does not trigger my megalophobia. I distinctly remember in Vegas from whatever arena we were at, you could see Thomas the giant Center. Basketball.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And from that distance, my mind was extrapolating being right next to it.
Yeah, what that
and
is.
I have megalophobia. Like big objects
do
shit to my brain.
Yeah.
And I couldn't even look at it. I couldn't even look at it from the outside. Now, my friend went to go see U2. And the video she shot from inside is just like,
it's wild.
It's like, I'm like equally terrified. And I'm like, I hate U2, but I might have to go see U2 because that shit looks amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm basically in because of Marco Brambilla did the visuals.
Oh, I thought it looked familiar. He did did the Power video, right?
Yeah, exactly. And he did Demolition Man. He was the only film he directed was Demolition Man.
Of course.
He's a great visual artist. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like that. So that combined, I mean, I guess I could sit through like uno, dos, tres, catorce, and then be like, oh, well, shit, these visuals are hitting.
I'll just put in my noise-canceling earbuds, and I'll listen to something else while I watch the show.
Yeah, this one is not even fucking close to what is happening in Vegas. But also, I love that the people who are making the Sphere, like who actually made the Sphere in Vegas, immediately came at these people in L.A. were like, hey, man, why don't you back the fuck up? There's a potential conflict and confusion, which is legally saying, yo, watch your fucking back. Maybe you need to rethink the fucking name.
It just looks like a giant globe. More than the Sphere. This is not a singular thing like the Sphere is.
No, it has like multiple screens wrapping it up. It looks like if they made a third of the Death Star advertising space, it kind of looks like this.
I didn't read too deeply into it, but it doesn't look like there's seating inside of it for thousands of fucking people. So I'm like, maybe you can fit one guy in there.
Dude, it's going to be between a Best Western and another hotel on Sunset.
It's going to be between a Best Western and another Best Western. So,
it's really not, they're really not coming with it with this one. But hey, we can dream, can't we? To one day have our own Sphere. I mean, like, I'm not going to lie. I do want to just have my fucking
When I saw what my friend posted, I immediately looked up concert schedule the Sphere, because I'm like, are they gonna have anything I'm into there? Because I will fly out
right
for that.
Yeah, I know. Are there any other artists that they've even, I don't think they are, right?
No, there's not a whole lot. They have like the Experience, where they're just showcasing footage and stuff shot for that screen, because they have a whole like new camera system just for that interior screen, because it's so fuck it is.
Yeah, well, anyway, let's move on to our next interesting topic. Mark Wayne Mullen, Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, he wanted to catch a fade.
Yeah,
on
he's
the
a
fucking
real,
Senate
real
floor.
Tough guy, apparently.
This guy has big tough guy energy. So let me set the scene for you. There's a hearing going on, and the Teamsters boss Sean O'Brien is in there. If you remember, we've talked about him before, because I believe it was back in June of this year, you know, Mark Wayne Mullen, Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, he's got a bit of a anti, like, hostile towards labor streak in him. So, of course, that's not going to sit well with a union boss. And there was a picture of him at a primary debate where he was, you know, he didn't want to cop to his height, like, you know, conservative men, obviously, toxic masculinity reigns supreme in this country. But he was shown he was standing on a box so he could look, you know, in similar stature to someone he was debating. And Sean O'Brien.
Let me just jump. I think this is more production than anything else, personally, of like framing the shot and having someone considerably shorter. So just fucks up the whole shot.
So they're going to like, yo, bro, you're so short. You're making it harder for our camera operators.
But isn't that what they do, right? Like,
they can. I mean, but that would be for something where like you have to have everything, like the lighting is so specific. But I feel like on broad, like they're not. Imagine if this was someone who was much shorter. Yeah, because
this lighting is super even.
Yeah, they're not going to be like, hey, man, you're going to have to stand on like six apple boxes, regardless, right? Sean O'Brien tweeted this in June with this picture of him on the debate at this debate set or whatever and said, greedy CEO who pretends like he's self-made. In reality, just a clown and fraud. Always has been, always will be. Quite the tough guy act in these Senate hearings. You know where to find me. Any place, anytime, cowboy. Because, you know, he had a lot of shit to say about organized labor. So he got his chance because Sean O'Brien was in the building, Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, and Mark Wayne Mullen did not forget. I do want to keep in mind.
He didn't disappoint either.
No, let's just let the people. This is what you came for. This could have been pay-per-view, but here we go.
Whew.
This clip is going to start off with Senator Mullen being like, let me read some receipts of how this guy cooked me on Twitter, basically. And it goes from there.
Like he's self-made. Sir, I wish he was in the truck with me when I was building my plumbing company. Myself and my wife was running the office because I sure remember working pretty hard and long hours.
I just do want to pause there. He said, when I was building my plumbing company, this is from his Wikipedia page. In 1997, at age 20, Mullen took over his father's business, Mullen Plumbing. Okay, so anyway, just keep that in mind.
Pretends like he's self-made. What a clown. Fraud. Always has been, always will be. Quit the tough guy act in these Senate hearings. You know where to find me. Any place, any time, cowboy. Sir, this is a time, this is a place. If you want to run your mouth, we can be two consenting adults. We can finish it here.
Okay, that's fine. Perfect.
You want to do it now?
I'd love to do it right now.
Well, stand your butt up then.
You stand your butt up.
Oh, hold on.
He stands up.
Is that your solution?
He didn't just stand up. He damn near flips his chair over.
Actively.
Oh, okay.
Sit down.
Bernie's right. Like, yo, Mr. chill. Hold
if we can, no, I have the mic. I'm sorry.
This is what he said, Dad. This is what he said. So then Bernie, like, he calms shit down, gives Sean O'Brien a moment to speak his piece, and Sean O'Brien even fucking just further violating this senator.
Hold it. Answer the questions.
All right, y'all won. He made a lot of statements, right? And his statements are fiction at best.
Fiction? I read them.
Can you
what?
Hold, answer the question, please.
I can't understand them, to be honest with you.
Right. Just a little, getting a little testy there. But yeah, it is interesting to know that he said he is worth about, it said at the end of 2021, his reported assets increased to a range of 31 to 75 million compared to a range of 7 to 29 million at the end of 2020. And apparently this was from the sale of plumbing related companies to Hometown Services. So anyway, he's got a, this man's making money, but still want to pick fights.
And not insider trading. He's not doing that like everybody else.
No, I sold my business that I inherited. I think that's what he takes. You know, he takes umbrage with that statement. Now, I don't know what state the business, I mean, he very well could have done that, but it's just funny when he, like, the thin skin, especially when you're getting called out by people who are not millionaires. But anyway,
yeah,
we almost had a bit of a, almost, you know, could have had some fisticuffs traded. Probably not.
Which is what you love to see in elected officials.
Because I think he's, like, also, like, he trains MMA. So you already know, he's got tough guy syndrome. You know what I mean? It's bad. It's, you know, these people walking around with TGS, man, tough guy syndrome. There's only one man that can cure them, and that is me. I alone can cure tough guy syndrome. All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
And we're back. RFK, Robert fucking Kennedy Jr., I think is how it works. That guy, so like earlier this month, he was caught out here on first class on an airplane with his 10 toes out, just barefoot walking up the and down the aisles on an airplane. Disgusting. Which in my book, that is what we call a violation, I would say. This is not your house. Other people have to be there. Taking your shoes off with the socks, I don't mind that. You got to let your feet, you know, like being in restrictive shoes doesn't help all the time. Going fully barefoot feels just a little bit too much. Like, I don't, now I'm like imagining if your feet stick. Familiar. I just don't need that. I don't like that. You know what I mean?
Too familiar.
But I get it. He's walking around. So he was like caught with that. And then apparently, like, he, when a bunch of people were giving him shit about it, he's like, got sick ass social media, dude. Like, whoever's running his social media did a great job because they're basically doubling down and they're like, oh, yeah? Well, look at him now at the airport waiting for his flight. Just feet fully out in the airport waiting area, like at the gate. The fuck is this?
Now, for some reason, I was picturing him, because I hadn't heard about this. I was picturing him in like a t-shirt and sweatpants and like flip-flops. He's wearing a full-ass
fucking suit.
Yeah. And he's got like leather, like beetle boots or whatever the fuck he's got there. I assume Chelsea socks boots? Also. It's a lot to remove. It's just an incongruous look to go barefoot in a full suit.
Yeah, it makes you look just like, I don't know.
I'm not saying it's better if you're, but it makes more sense that if you remove your foot garments and they happen to be flip flops, that you're going to be immediately barefoot.
You can't claim IDGAF vibes wearing a fucking suit with the button still buttoned. You know what I mean?
I don't know, man.
But hey, power move,
dude. It's literally and figuratively not a good look.
Yeah, truly, truly. But hey, for those of you, I feel bad when, yeah, I've seen it. You know, you see posts like that on Twitter all the time, but I remember being on an airplane and seeing like the person get the armrest surprise when the person behind them, like their toes be touching your elbow and shit from the row behind you. And they're like, what the fuck is that? And then someone's fucking feet? No.
No. That's please. That is a frank conversation, at least from me. I'm like, mm-mm.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, call me Hemingway because this shit about to get earnest. Okay. So lastly, we're going to talk about this in tomorrow's episode, but I can't resist bringing it up again because it is exciting to me as a musician, as a music fan, as just a fan of Outkast. Andre 3000 has a new album coming out. That's right. It's coming out Friday. Okay. It's coming out Friday, and hold on to your butts. There is no rapping on it. It is him on the flute. It is called New Blue Sun. And that feels like such an experimental like flute album name, like New Blue Sun. You know what I mean? And I'm excited. I'm excited to hear it because I want to see. He's such a great artist.
I've not been as excited for a release in 2023 as I am for this. Just hearing about this, I'm like, this is exactly what I need in my life, is experimental flute music from someone who's just out of the game and just trying to like be happy and live life.
Right. Exactly. Cause the first track is acknowledging that. Like the first track is basically like, hey man, I tried to make a rap album, but like, this is what happened. And you're like, great. We love you.
And I respect that so much of just like, I didn't make some contrived
piece of
content.
Like, yeah. Right.
I made what was true to me. So
yeah,
I really like that.
You see a lot of artists, they get like, there's like those albums, like, cause their ego just gets the best of them. And they're like,
or they're
gonna
do
love
what
this
like their
shit.
Audience or critics expect of them. They're trying to like predict, you know, just taking in all these opinions on like, oh, what they'd like to see next from this guy. And it can really like cloud what you want to do.
Absolutely.
Especially when you have like a lot of eyes on you.
Absolutely. That's why like I always respect artists who fucking, I don't care if you take years to make an album. Like, cause there are album people who wait that long, but there are other ones like where they wait years and they put out something even better. Like I always talk about Voodoo following up you know, like D'Angelo's second album.
My favorite example of this is MGMT. Because when they came out, they were these indie pop sort of electro sounding darlings, and they completely abandoned it. They abandoned it in such a spectacular way that alienated almost everything that people liked about them. And you know, no matter how you feel about MGMT, it's like that second album was like, huh? Okay.
Wait, so what? Wait, I didn't even know what was that album like?
It was just like, it was an art rock album. It wasn't anything like what you would have expected.
Oh,
from
wow.
People doing like Electric Feel or whatever those other songs were. But they started working with the Flaming Lips producer and making just weirdo shit.
Yeah, I think that's what's funny. You know, like this is something I feel like creative people talk, like especially in music, right? Like you can tell when an artist is making something for an audience that is outside of them. And you can tell when someone is sincerely expressing themselves and their interests in the way that they know how to best.
Drake. Drake.
Dude, he is lost, bro.
Aubrey.
Aubrey.
Sorry.
Yo, stop drinking so much. Every fucking social media post is you fucking spoof.
Do gone, anything. Sir. Do anything else, Aubrey, please. We love.
Yeah, I mean, look, you've already you've made enough. Just stop. Just stop. How about
do something else?
Yeah, because it's been a long time since I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Although, don't be a writer because your book sucked.
Did he have a book?
He had a book.
Oh wow, you're following much closer than I. Then what was it about? Like his the 48 Laws of Power according to Drake or something.
I can't remember the title. It was like. Something titles are disappointing or something like that. I can't remember.
Titles ruin everything.
Titles ruin everything.
Oh my God.
It's just like a
stream of consciousness.
Yeah, it's nonsense.
Oh, and like Phaidon put it out, so it's like an art book. That's just a fucking
it's just another coffee table product. Book.
That ain't art, fam. Wow, that's like honest. That pissed. Stream of consciousness book writing from someone who has no business writing a book is an insult to the people that are buying it.
And which is funny because he's literally a rapper who, my understanding is, they occasionally have to write things down. But yeah, that's not what I'm checking on him for at all.
Like, it's so bad. One of the things is the stuff you be saying on those apps says a lot. That's one whole page.
That's a trenchant insight, Aubrey. Wow.
If I didn't know how to keep my comments to myself, I'd be commenting STFU.
Based.
This is bad. This is bad. This is bad.
It's not
good. Yeah. Anyway, real art. Shout out to the real artist. Indeed. You know, just making things, expressing yourself, because people will pick up on that. Yeah. And I'm excited. Andre, can't wait to hear it. And you know, inevitably people are going to start like trying to like flip beats out of that album and then put his like acapellas on it and shit.
This will be his true legacy.
Yo, could you imagine? He starts doing some Jethro Tull shit.
Oh.
With Miles. The posture, too. He in tree pose with
the one foot up.
Yeah, on the knee and shit. Woo, woo.
Oh, man.
That would be so funny, man.
I just want to see, him doing features on other people's shit, but it's just flute.
Oh, yeah. But that would be wild. It's like him on like a new Lil Wayne track. And it's like Andre too, and be like, oh, she's like, nah, he did the flute sample.
Oh man, I love this for him. I love this for us.
Or do you just give him 16 bars to play like a 16 bar flute solo? You're rapping.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many great flute samples throughout hip hop, and I'm like, yeah, like this makes so much sense to me. I don't know why.
But I'm saying I would love for an artist to have him as a feature and make the space for him to be like, you don't have to MC, bro. Like, you don't have to rap. Yeah. Like, but you got 16. You want 32? Take 32 bars and just rip the flute. And
I want that. I really do.
Anyway, Andre, please come on the Daily Zeitgeist. I know you don't listen, but if by chance you are and you're somewhere in an airport playing a flute, we'd love to have you.
Yeah, just come chill.
Yeah, come chill, man. Come chill. And we can talk about Jethro Tull and our favorite flute solos. Anyway, that's going to do it for us today. Thank you, Brian, for joining me. We'll be back tomorrow with a whole new episode. Going to be wonderful. And I bet if you can guess, because I had a guest host today, that might be a guest host on tomorrow morning's episode. It's going to be wild, child. Okay. Until then, you know, be kind to yourself. Be kind to each other.
Yep.
Don't stress yourself out. Get the vaccine. Nope. Don't do nothing about hate. That's every kind, okay? White supremacy, homophobia, all that stuff included, okay? Don't do nothing. Be a good person, okay? Or at least try to. And don't try and pick fights with Teamsters like Senator Mullen tried to. It's just not a good look. It's not a good look, like having your toes out at the airport.
It's not
going
to end up how you think it will.
Oh, no. Never does. Seldom does. All right. We'll see you then. Bye.
Later.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.